Hi, this is Truth Be Told Transformation, and I'm your host, Bonnie Burkert. I'm here to share tools for transformation to live your highest truth. What is truth to you? I will say whatever makes you feel the most authentically you. And one of the things that I think help people really identify and find their truth, really find their joy, is music. So you just heard a snippet of music from my guest today, Tatiana Berman. Welcome, Tatiana.
Hello, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Hi, so Tatiana's a violinist, and we just played a little snippet. Did you get to hear what we were teasing
with? Yes, a little bit, yes.
Okay,
it's from my album, the Tchaikovsky Melody. It's a very beautiful contemplative piece of music.
Well, that's great. So listen, we've titled this show Music for Transformation, and obviously the show is called Transformation. So what does that mean to you? Yeah, I didn't really run that by you before.
yes, you just sprung it on me.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes the surprise element is good. Do you feel that music transforms you?
Absolutely. I do. And one of the most exciting things for me when I perform is how different people react differently to music and how beautifully it can affect a person, or it can move them to tears and they may have a cathartic experience, or they're just going to that other happy place, or somehow it's joyful. So what I love about music, it really brings you to different places and can take you into different state of mind. And sort of uncover certain things that perhaps you can't really do with words. And so I absolutely believe that music has the power to transform.
Well, very much. Thank you. And very well said. So when did you start playing? I mean, a lot of times a classical violinist such as yourself might have started already very young.
Sure. Yes, I was one of those. My parents were both musicians. And when I was about 3 or 4, I used to go to a lot of concerts, a lot of rehearsals.
And where were you?
Actually, well, it's not fashionable right now, but I grew up in St. Petersburg in Russia. And I was a very musical kid from the very beginning because both of my parents were musicians. And I just felt like this was, the way of life. At the same time, I was always curious in other artistic aspects. I appreciated visual art very much already then, and I wanted to also explore dance. And you know how a lot of the time kids are very expressive when they're little. And so I started playing. It was kind of a cute story because my father played a recital with a violinist, and my father is a very wonderful pianist. And I went to this recital and I was 4, and it was in the Grand Philharmonic Hall in St. Petersburg. And it has these beautiful marble columns and crystal chandeliers. It's very grand looking. And I was at the time, when you're 4 and you're a girl, very often girls are into crystals and fairies and all the beautiful sparkly things.
So I love that. That is so great.
It was the amazing experience, and I loved the sound of the violin. And so afterwards, I kept begging my parents to get me a violin because that whole experience related to me in that way. And of course, I already was very much around music anyway, but I just loved the whole experience so much that I just couldn't stop nagging them. And eventually my uncle, actually for my birthday, he bought me a violin. So I started playing, I was almost 5. And of course, it was a little bit shocking, as some musicians can relate to. When you first start playing the violin, it's not like the piano. You just press the keyboard and the key and sort of the sound comes out. But with the violin, the first sound you hear is basically terrible scratching noise. so it was a little bit, it was not really what I expected. But anyway, I persevered, and the whole story started. And by the time I was 7, I auditioned for the only one specialized. Well, it's we have a lot of music, Russia has a lot of music schools, but the specialized music schools, they are under usually like a conservatory. And so I auditioned there and they got me in. So it's a school for kids who want to be musicians when they grow up. So I got in there and that's how my journey started.
Tatiana, it's amazing because there's so many kids that rebel against what their parents did, right? Especially with music. Oh my God, my parents liked rock and roll, so I'm going to listen to hip hop, right? So, I mean, this is quite a magical story.
Yeah. But I think that that comes later when you're a teenager and you rebel against everything. You know, when you're a little kid, you actually follow your parents a lot and you admire them or you don't. But I mean, I think most kids, they copy and subconsciously their parents in some ways.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. And thank goodness you did, because your playing is truly beautiful. So give us, you mentioned sort of, it sounds to me like the music felt a little bit otherworldly to you. And I mean, that's something we love to talk about on this show is, I use the term higher consciousness, but as a little one, you were thinking about fairies and crystals. So did the music continue to have mystical implications for you as you continued to learn and master?
Well, when I got invited to this podcast, it's interesting because I'm not sure how many details I will go into, but throughout my life, since I was a little girl, I am always fascinated and interested in exploring the ethereal side of life, dimensions, different ways of being and different ways of existence. And so all of this is very much very close to my heart. And especially recently, that it has become much more accepted to talk about whether if you have other aspects that you want to express in life, if you are saying you are interested in ethereal things, or if you're interested in consciousness, higher consciousness, or different dimensions or existence, that's not anymore something that you kind of feel uncomfortable talking about, because a lot of people are doing that now, and it's so much more, it's liberating actually. And so yeah, and music, because it's sound and because it's vibration at this very basic level, I've always had this experience where as a performer in concert, you can get to these other places, otherworldly places. At times, even my audience sometimes tells me this. Oh, it felt like you were at this in another place, and which is true. You know how sports people or performers, we often get in the zone.
Yes.
And that's sort of how it feels. But you're not really in this world sometimes. So the idea is to master your instrument to the point where you can get to those places while you're performing. And the amazing thing with that is that you take the audience with you. So the audience, when this whole exchange of energy happens, that's the most amazing thing for me. And that's quite ethereal and it's quite otherworldly, because it's not something you can sort of measure or pinpoint often. You know, you can't say, oh, 2 + 2 = 4. It's not like that. It's very different for each person, but yes, they do get into this other energy and other world, and things get exchanged, and it's not something you necessarily can measure with, you know, maths or physical objects.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. No, it's beautifully put. So I'm going to ask you more specifically about classical music, and you were in a documentary called Forte, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that also speaks to the different experiences of being a classical musician. Am I right?
Well, I think it's a timely film. Often we see documentaries where, let's say, famous musicians such as rock stars or pop stars are on tour about their life, about their music, their experience. But we don't often see what happens to people who are forging their own way in life, in their career, and they create their own definitions of success. Perhaps they're not famous as such, but they are successful in their own right. And so this film is very beautiful. When I got asked to participate, I was yes, because this was to me so great. It's a portrait of three women in music, And we're all completely different. We have very different profiles. And it's wonderful for younger musicians and other women in the industry to see that the career path can be so different, and you can choose to structure things the way you envision it. And so it's a film about three women in music, and the one violinist is at the beginning of her international career. The second one is a pianist and composer. And she also, it's a beautiful film because it's quite unique. She, Lucia, the second woman, she writes the score while the film is being made. So by the time the film gets finished, she finishes the score and she gets to conduct it the day on. So it's very exciting. And then there is me. I'm a musician who's also an artist, and I produce and I run the festival. And I also have three children, so I'm the mother. So in the film, I am representing that demographic as well, on top of everything. And so that's kind of the struggles and the balancing act of being a mom and balancing all the career interests and other interests as well.
That's great. And I appreciate you describing that. And again, the documentary is called Forte, and the links are in Tatiana's bio on our site. So, I mean, there's much to dissect right there in your documentary. I'm going to stay, though, with what a comment that you made before, and then we'll come back to the documentary. You were talking about the audience's experience when you're creating music, and that certainly will translate into your life and how you're taking care of your children and the other work that you do. A cultural ambassador, is that what we're calling you? You know, beyond just a musician, you're doing a lot of different initiatives to help get music out there, and specifically classical music, correct?
So I am passionate about classical music, and because also all my life I've been performing, it's only natural that, you know, it's music is almost my first language. So if I when I speak, it's not it doesn't feel as comfortable as when I perform. So in a way, you can say it's my first language. And I'm passionate about it, not because just because I am performing and that's why I'm passionate about it, but I truly believe that musical experiences, especially with acoustic performances and yes, live singing and performing, can really have a wonderful effect on your well-being. So the vibrations that are, you know, produced during the performance are very much, it's just something that the words cannot really describe. And for example, if the performance is presented in the right way, it can be a transformative experience. And so that is why I believe so much in classical music. And of course, we can go into other aspects of it, that now there are hundreds and hundreds of studies that show that classical music is beneficial for things like stress, things like even memory, improving memory, and well-being in general. So it's been proven as well with our modern science that it is simply good for you.
I love that.
On top of all the other things.
But yeah, it's really great. Yeah. Let me ask you something on there. I hope you don't mind my interrupting at that juncture. Do you find that I definitely people know about classical music, like, for example, the baby Mozart. Did you ever hear about that here in the States?
Of course, yes. I have. Yeah, when my kids were little, it was baby Einstein.
Yeah.
And things like that. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I just was curious about a lot of the, and I'm making generalizations, but there are a lot of people that attend classical music that perhaps are different generations that maybe aren't necessarily ascribing to music as a healing tool, as you describe. How do you feel it? And yet, do you feel they need to be believers, or do they experience it and maybe they're not even knowing what all just happened to them?
Well, so the beautiful thing about classical music is I spent all my life, and I'm still doing it, is trying to break misconceptions about classical music. So one of the misconceptions that I most often come across is that, oh, I don't know anything about it, and so I'm kind of, you know, why should I go to a concert? Like I'm afraid, like I'm not going to understand the structure or know anything about classical music, so maybe it's not going to work for me. And then that's one of the misconceptions. The second misconception is that because classical music hasn't really done a great job, to be honest, in the last couple of decades in comparison to all the popular genres out there in the marketing itself. And so often there's a misconception that it is perhaps not as interesting or not as engaging or fast-paced or exciting. And that is a misconception because it all depends on the repertoire. Some of the repertoire just is the most joyful and fast-paced and interesting repertoire. There are always stories in music. There's just so much out there. But the misconceptions are there. And I wouldn't say that every concert you go to necessarily is going to be a healing experience. That's not what we're trying to say here. But it is an experience that enriches your inner being, and it's enriching. So that's one aspect of it. And sometimes it's inspiring, and often it's even cathartic. It depends on what you're listening to, and you never know what you're going to get. I mean, once you get to know some of the classical music repertoire, you will know perhaps more or less what you're going to go and hear. But even if you don't know anything at all, that's the beauty of it, is that you will come out and you'll be like, oh, that was interesting, exciting, or I was sad, or I was in tears, or, you know. So the beauty of it is not that it is necessarily going to have a healing experience, but it's an experience that enriches your inner self.
And yeah, and it's soothing. And I think in this day and age of sort of intensity and a lot of information overload, I think it can really, classical music can be an elixir. An elixir for the soul, for the ears. I mean, I think it's calming, and I think it's probably something that people don't realize that they need as much. I think we feel like we're supposed to continually be stimulated, right? And so I feel like
overstimulated, I would say.
Yeah,
and it's not constantly overstimulated with lots of noise and sound.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's not to say that classical music is not stimulating. It isn't true. But I think it impacts in a different way. I have a practice that I listen to classical music on Sunday mornings. That is part of my weekend, is that I like to explore different works, or maybe I listen to a radio station that's playing it. And I feel like, you know, Sunday's supposed to be kind of a day of rest. So I'm giving myself a rest from the other things I listen to, which maybe are a little bit more drum heavy. Even if it's like, I love sitar music, like classical Indian music.
I love classical music.
With tablas and things like that. But I definitely prefer a soothing, and I mean, there are drums in classical music, but in a different way than maybe some of the other music that we listen to. So tell me specifically about the violin. I'd love to know more about it. I mean, the instrument itself and how that's an extension of your playing. And again, I feel like you're somebody that really understands the history of this music and how it's been played through the years, and particularly coming from Russia. I mean, what an incredibly rich culture with music as well. So yeah. I would love to know just how you feel about the violin as an instrument to convey this magic that you give us.
Well, I, of course, I love the violin, and I feel like it's the most amazing instrument, because it's sort of, to me, it reminds of the human voice in a way, but with a lot more, in some ways, and more virtuosic capacity and a little bit more capabilities of, let's say, double stops and things like that, things where you can have a lot more sound effects, let's put it this way. But the violin, to me, it operates on a very high frequency of expression. And that's why I think a lot of the time when you have a very beautiful, very good violin performance, how it gets right into your soul. And so for me, that's what violin is. And I do a lot of workshops with large groups of people, of kids, and I talk about music and the violin as well. And I demonstrate different sound effects and what the violin can do and how it's all structured. And the fascinating thing about one of my workshops is about classical music in general. And it is a very misunderstood concept that we call it classical music, and we still call it classical music. And it actually, if you really think about it, it represents almost 1,000 years old, 1,000 years of music, which is mind-boggling because so you will call Baroque and 20th century music, it's all called classical, but 20th
Yes.
century music is night and day from what Baroque music used to be because it just has some tonal similarities, but most of the time, you know, you have electronics in there, you have AI, you have all sorts of different completely different techniques of writing music, but it's all called classical. So on that note, and the violin is to me is really just it comes from the heart, and I feel like when I play the violin, it's like an extension of my soul, and I can express myself that way. And some people, for some people, it's a voice, and for me, it's a violin. So it's an extension, and yeah, I think it's the most amazing instrument, of course, but in that way.
That's great. What did your mother play? You said she was a musician as well.
Yeah, she passed away a while when I was younger, and but she played in she was a soloist, and then she played in an orchestra in Russia, and she played this one of the more traditional instruments. It's called domra, and they play all the classical music re repertoire on it, but it's actually it's sort of it has pluck. It's kind of it's not like a guitar, but it has three strings, and you use a mediator to play it.
That's great. But you and you found the violin.
I did.
And you
That's
even though your
probably because
father.
of the crystal chandeliers.
Well, there you go. I love that. So, are you living in the States now?
I live between London and I live between the States. Yeah, so I've lived in America for 15 years, and before that I lived in England for almost 10 years, and now I'm between the two places because I perform a lot in the US, so that's why I'm often here. So right now I'm here. I'm actually I just arrived yesterday, so everything is upside down. It's
Well,
different.
thank you for talking to us. So, you've got a new record out called Not So Classical. So I feel like speaking on what you just mentioned about dissecting classical music and maybe not, you know, that being a little bit too broad, maybe we should look at classical a little bit more distinctively. Tell us why you chose this particular title. And I do love the album cover very much, by the way.
Thank you very much. This is actually my first album, and I'm a little bit of a late bloomer because I've recorded and performed a lot during my life, but I've never had the I wasn't at a place where I was ready to release something. So actually, I'm now working on my second album. This one came out a year, a couple few months ago. So I chose the title Not So Classical because I have a brand that I created a few years ago. 2014, I think, and it's called Not So Classical for a reason that we create a concept where we interlace beautiful classical pieces that are shorter between short films. So the short films have some kind of a story and a narrative, and throughout the performance, there is a narrative through the short films, and we have educational versions and also, two or three different options for the stories. And in between that, there is beautiful classical music. So that's it's a wonderful way to introduce people who are not necessarily comfortable with the concept of going to concerts, and they might not know much, or we're not introduced. Very often what happens is that people are not introduced to classical music when they're younger. So when they're older, they don't know where to start in a way. And this is what where cl not so classical concept comes in, because it's not a long concert. It's just of an hour. In you know, a lot of classical music concerts are close to 2 hours, and so it's a little bit different. And it's very easy to digest because the pieces are shorter and there are films in between. So the album, the first album, Not So Classical, that I released, contains a lot of wonderful contrasting works that are you know that anyone can listen to and enjoy and find something. It's like a little box of chocolates because there's a lot of different there are a lot of different moods and different stories that are told. And the album that I'm currently working on is the second volume, and that's going to be dealing with my current theme that I'm working in the realm of, which is more about healing, sounds and how sound and noise pollution and things that how sounds affect us in general. So that's what I'm working on currently. And so the second album will be quite different. And it will also include a couple of my own compositions, which I've been working on. So yeah, that's
great. No, you'll have to come back when that new record is out.
Yes.
No, I think it's very, very important. And I mean, noise pollution. So, I mean, if you care to expand on your thoughts on that, just to prepare us for what's to come, I think you're very right. You're very right about that. I mean, believe me, once upon a time, I loved to have music up very, very loud. And I certainly with maturity, I think I have to pick and choose when that makes sense for me. So that's just me with whatever rock and roll or whatever all I'm listening to. But there are sensitivities out there. And what are you learning? What do you feel? How can we do this differently?
Well, in the last half a year, I've been exploring noise, sound vibrations, and how music and sound noise affect us on different levels. Cellular, psychological, they affect our behavior, they affect our well-being. And I'm so passionate about it that at the moment I'm actually making my first ever documentary about it. But of course I'm a musician, so it's going to be, a lot of it is going to be music-based. But still, I'd like to bring people's attention to the sound and the sound, the things that they're surrounded by. And how I really decided to, how I decided to explore this is because about a year ago, there was this whole COVID situation and a lot of quarantines, and we had to stay at home a lot. And I just realized how quiet it was a lot of the time. It was much, much, much quieter. So it was very interesting. And I realized how much it affects me by the end of the day when there's a lot of noise and a lot of sound. And I just simply started noticing that I get overwhelmed. And so it was a personal interest. And so I started researching it. And I also started noticing more and more that, for example, if you go to a shopping mall or if you go to an airport lounge or any kind of stores that you visit, very often there's kind of, you don't even understand why are you listening to this. You know, a lot of the time it's quite bad, especially I find it annoying in airports because there's a lot of the time the music is not of the highest quality, but it's quite loud at the same time.
Yeah.
So it sort of disturbs my inner world a little bit because I just started noticing, it's like, why am I listening to this? So the idea is like this. We watch what we eat, right? If we're conscious, we watch what we eat, what we consume, what we watch on TV, what we read, people who we communicate with. But we often don't really concern ourselves with the sound that gets into our ears. That's probably because we also can't close our ears, right? We biologically are not made to just close our ears. So luckily now we have a noise canceling headphones. We can practice consciously, we can meditate, we can do our prayers or take time and just breathe and do all these practices to kind of be within ourselves. But often in our culture and our society currently, we are bombarded with sound to the point where I don't feel like often people have a chance to really look within what's in from inside out. It's all kind of gets put in from outside in. And that is a much bigger topic for me. And that is why I started to explore it, because I'm noticing, so we have the screens which we stare at, and then we have the sound which bombard us. So if you're not careful, there can be this very much a negative long-term effect, because you never are alone with your inner world. So you are not actually fully expressing yourself as a human. And maybe you're not even able to give to the world like who you really truly are. And that to me is, you know, we are human. So that is the whole point of being on this planet, is to bring out what we are, who we are, to this world. And so that is part of the reason why I started being very much started being interested and I'm making this documentary. So it's called The Power of Sound. And the funny thing is, of course, because I'm a musician, I created a program first called The Power of Sound. And it is in line with Not So Classical does. So there is a vignette where I talk about a particular aspect. For example, healing sounds, Tibetan singing bowls, tuning forks. I kind of explain that how this happens and why and when it was used and how people use it now. Then I play, and then in between each piece of music, there is a new chapter that deals, let's say, with noise pollution, deals with how we can combat some of it, and also talking about classical music, different frequencies. There and then music therapy, and there are a lot of other topics that I'm covering. And so it's very exciting because there's so much information out there now, and I'm hoping to make this into an informative documentary that's also very beautiful visually and has new music in it, and it's something that will make people go, now I'm noticing it, because after my program, I've performed The Power of Sound now several times. I had a few small tours, and it's an amazing effect. People are in tears most of the time at the end of the program, and they start telling me afterwards. I get all sorts of emails and texts, and people call me up, and they're like, I can't stop noticing things now that I've heard this program, and I keep thinking about it. And I've now started having these, basically people start changing the way they do things because this is an issue, and we just don't realize it because we're so used to not noticing it. So if that makes sense.
Oh, Tatiana, it definitely does. This is fantastic. I feel like we need to get Power of Sound in schools across the world, right? I mean, let's help our...
That's one of my goals. I would love to have a shorter educational version to have, to get kids to be more aware of what's happening, around them and to them.
Let's have that. Let's have that part of their curriculum. I grew up in Vienna, and we used to go to classical music concerts. And I mean, how fortunate is that? I mean, how do I know
I
how
love
that
Vienna and Vienna is an absolutely gorgeous city. And of course, so much rich culture and amazing architecture as well. And just the way things are done there is just absolutely gorgeous.
Of course, I was a crazy kid that was probably wondering like, oh, I hope I get to sit next to that cute boy in the concert instead of really paying attention to the music.
That's normal. But, I think everyone does
that. it's romantic. But yeah. In Power of Sound now, let me ask you, you mentioned things like the Tibetan bowls, I believe. Did you say that? I don't know if
yes.
I heard that correctly. And certainly tuning forks, and which I've been working with the tuning fork lately, just to kind of shift some health in my heart, lung region, and just feel it feels really good. Does the violin work in a similar way?
Yes.
It's vibration.
Yes. I cannot, I'm not a scientist, so I cannot give you the scientific explanation for this, but the gist of it is that each violinist has their own sort of gift of sound. So for example, the way I sound is quite different from another violinist of similar, similar training, because each person, this is the unique thing about the violin or some other actually quite a few other instruments you can do that with, but each individual violinist, and depending on what violin you're playing as well and what bow you have, you produce a different shade, different quality of sound, and in a way you affect the person or the audience in different ways. And so yes, the violin can have a healing effect also depending on the repertoire. If you're playing something that's very, very harmonically, balanced, and it's slow and it has these beautiful harmonies, then the person who is listening to that will have this beautiful, peaceful and relaxed feeling, and maybe inspired. But for example, there are some happy, fast tunes that the violinist can play. And so I think it also very much depends on the repertoire. That's what I guess I would say. But yeah. The violin, definitely the frequency of the sound because it's the vibration and it's very it's very high, kind of, I would say it's a higher consciousness sound, but that would sound a little bit wrong because I'm not a scientist, as I said, but it's, I feel like it's, it must have this connection to the other realm that is not necessarily physical. That's just my own point of view.
I think you figured that out when you were very little already.
Yes.
Right? Ah, it's, what a story. Tatiana, this is so beautiful, and thank you. And I really, you know, I've worked around music for my entire career. And so truly, I know that we can be moved in so many different ways by different music. But the point is I think that I want to say here a takeaway: conscious listening. And yes. Right? And how we can use it not to just drown things out, but to really help us shift. And I also exploring different types of music, and this, thus the power of sound.
Exactly. I think that one of the most important things is as well to be open-minded. And now it's easier than ever. You have playlists in places like, you know, Apple Music and Spotify, your playlists, and also different people recommend different things. And so go out there, you know, enjoy and explore. You're not going to love every single piece of classical music, but you will find the things that you love and that resonate with you. And this is the thing about sound, it resonates in your body. You know, we are made up of a lot of ourselves are we're made up of water, and so we're conduits of these vibrational frequencies, and so we do have to be aware of how the vibrations from outside affect us. And that's one of the things about classical music, is that it affects and tunes your frequency, like what you were saying about tuning forks. I'm in fact also having that experience now, and I absolutely love it, because the tuning forks, they find the little discrepancies in the vibrations in your body, or outside of your physical body, and they sort of fix it, and they sort of not, they balance it out again, so it is balanced, and it's not, you know, it, that's why it actually makes you feel better, because you are more harmonious when you are tuned, when you are, all of your vibrational frequencies around yourself are tuned. So classical music very often is this harmony that's tuned, and that is why it harmonizes things inside us. So
indeed. Well, I think that everybody, even though you call it not so classical, definitely, yeah, explore the beautiful classical music that Tatiana Berman has is sharing with the world out there. And, you know, you mentioned the streaming services. I know your album's out. I know your new project, Power of Sound, is to come. So whenever people happen to be hearing this, stay tuned. Give Tatiana a follow. And thank you again for helping us, guiding us. First of all, just giving us beautiful music, but also bringing some higher consciousness around it. It's so important, Tatiana. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you so much. And thank you very much for doing what you are doing and bringing all this to us as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Until the next time. We appreciate you listening, everybody. This is Truth Be Told Transformation, and we're here to speak with people that are on the leading edge, finding different ways to help us feel our best and brightest in our lives. Truth Be Told with Tony Sweet is on every Fridays live at 3 p.m. Pacific, so definitely check out Tony and catch up with his community. Robin Hensley has a new show on Mondays, The Minuteman Report, and that's also at 3 p.m. Please follow and share and let everybody know what we're doing here. We appreciate it. And I will send you off with the feeling of harmony and to always enjoy the music.